the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
A really interesting point from a listener. Given the threat of war in Europe and our reliance on imported gas, shouldn't we finally invest in wind energy in Ireland in order to secure our independence? Surely that would be a wise investment of our tech billions. Clive O'Neill is with us, climate environmental researcher, contributor to the Irish Times, because John Gibbons is away. It is an interesting point, isn't it, there, about the gas that we import so much of our energy needs, or import the gas to provide from it, and import indeed a lot of our electricity. The only problem is, I don't think we can get the wind energy that we need built offshore quickly enough to deal with this current crisis in Greenland.
Absolutely. So you know, we do rely on a lot of fossil fuel imports. I think over 85% of Ireland's energy is still coming from fossil fuel imports when you add in transport fuels and gas that comes through the pipelines into our buildings to heat them.
That much, so, despite the fact that we have so many wind energy facilities on the island, and that there's been a big increase in the amount of solar capacity as well, the needs are such that we still import 85% of our energy needs.
Absolutely. Now, we have to remember that the wind and solar power is generating electricity, but energy isn't just electricity. It's also diesel, petrol and other liquid fuels and solid fuels. And we use energy to heat buildings, to power industry and also to move ourselves around. So that's why we have to look at the big picture, and we're very reliant on fossil fuels. And even though we've added a lot of wind and solar onto the grid, and that's fantastic, and we need to keep doing it and do more of it, we still need gas to balance the grid because energy demand is increasing, and that's because of data centres and population growth.
Data centres. We had the relevant minister, Peter Burke, here sitting in the chair you're in earlier in the week, talking about the government's desire to increase the number of data centres because it's important to the investment by the foreign tech companies here in Ireland. But tell us about the extraordinary figures, or about the amount of energy consumed by a single data centre in West Dublin. That's been discovered in an internal government document released to the Sinn Féin MEP Lynn Boylan.
Well, there should be no surprise here, really. We've been aware for some time that even individual data centres represent a big stress on the grid. But what's interesting about this information is that she's able to compare it directly, one data centre in West Dublin, with the electricity demand of a nearby pharmaceutical plant that employs 2,000 people. And that is equivalent enough to power 200,000 homes. So what we're seeing here...
Sorry,
really,
the data centre uses 10 times the amount of electricity of the pharmaceutical plant, and that then is equal to 200,000 homes.
Absolutely. They're really huge energy demands from these facilities. But what we see when you compare those two things is the social and environmental cost together of data centre policy. We have the social cost in terms of opportunities lost, in terms of job creation, pressure on the grid, and then, you know, potentially, although it can be mitigated, difficulties developing new housing, and also the climate pollution that comes from that extra energy demand. So while the policy of the government is to require the data centres to be able to power their facilities from renewable energy, that isn't straightforward. And they're talking, the government is talking now about these green energy centres or green development zones. But the reality is...
Sorry, putting things like wind farms and solar plants beside the data centres, maybe to provide the power for them.
Yes, well, that would make sense if you did have that offshore wind coming on stream. But it now looks like we won't have any offshore wind capacity on, powering Ireland until after 2032, 2033, all going well. So we're adding more data centre demand to the grid, and the government policy seems to be to continue to do that, no change there, while we're not actually able to bring enough renewable electricity on stream to power it. So what the data centre companies are likely to do is to argue that they can enter into corporate power purchase agreements with onshore wind and solar, and potentially use private wires to connect directly to this. But this means that that renewable electricity won't be available to small businesses and householders.
Declan asks a really good question. Are we harvesting the heat generated by the data centres to provide heat for homes near them?
No, we're just not doing that. And it's an extraordinary waste of heat.
It's the same, isn't it, with down in the Dublin Docklands area, where you have the incinerator and you have the potential for a district heating scheme. You could be using the heat that's generated by the incinerator to power at least 30,000 homes. We've known this for at least a decade and it hasn't been activated.
I know Ireland likes to, you know, present itself as, you know, a supporter and innovator in green tech and supporter of the tech sector generally. But the reality is we're way behind. We're way behind countries that are using renewables more efficiently, using heat from wastewater and using the waste heat from not just data centres, but other sources as well in district heating schemes. And while CODEMA, which is the energy agency for Dublin, has done a lot of work to try to get the infrastructure ready for this, we have no large scale schemes in place at all. It's an absolute disaster.
There are listeners saying that there are some cases where it's been used from data centres in Dublin.
Correct.
I think that's out in Talla in particular.
It is, it's a very small scheme, and I understand that there's one data centre that has been sort of plumbed ready for connection to, but we don't have a district heating grid system in place to actually take the heat. So, you know, it requires joined up thinking. It requires, you know, having a heating and cooling plan that's applied in a planning sense, so that any new developments have renewable and sustainable energy sources wired in, plumbed in whatever way is appropriate from the get-go.
Let's talk a little bit about the EU Climate Change Monitoring Service report for 2025. What has it told us about Ireland's exposure to extreme weather?
Well, we're seeing headlines that frankly, Matt, are just disappointing and distressing. Ireland is set for more extreme weather as climate data points to worsening trends. But this is the same headline that we've been talking about for the last 15, 20 years. The headline really should be reading, governments are still not acting fast enough to avert dangerous climate change. And that's exactly what we're facing into. So the latest report from the EU's Copernicus Climate Change Monitoring Service is pointing out again how, you know, 2025 was the Earth's third hottest year and lots of records have been broken with heat waves, storms, floods, all of the things that we've almost become inured to at this stage. But we, you know, there's a danger that our sense of what's normal in terms of bad weather or our extreme weather is shifted.
Is that sort of a recency bias, and that we think that what we've experienced recently is what we always used to experience, that it actually isn't any different from what we might have grown up with?
Yes, unfortunately. And of course, the younger you are, the more likely you are to think that the current weather patterns are normal, whereas you and I, Matt, probably remember a time when we had a lot more frosty days in the winter time and a lot more cold snaps that lasted for longer. Now, you know, is that a bias? It can be sometimes a bias, and that's why we need accurate science. But I think there is still a sense, and in fact, it's getting worse, that governments are not paying close enough heed to science. They don't see this as urgent. They think that current policies and measures will just kind of tick along and we'll be grand and we'll do our best. And sure, look at the US, look at China, blah, 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 all the usual arguments. We know that cooperation is essential for climate action. The EU does have strong policies, but there is a threat that these are going to be diluted and watered down.
Well, is the EU likely to hold the line when you see what is happening in the United States, and when also when the United States is very keen to back American multinationals operating in Europe, who then want to do things like building the data centres to help them?
Certainly the last commission was focused on the Green European Deal. And this current commission, also led by President von der Leyen, is much more focused on industrial policy and ensuring that Europe is competitive. But the price that we will all pay for that shift in policy and priority is unthinkable. We're looking at potentially reaching climate tipping points, which means essentially irreversible catastrophic climate change that, you know, could lead to changes that have a runaway effect, that cascading effect where one change tips over to another and drives an even faster rate of change in the climate system. And these are risks we can't afford to take. It's not certain that they will happen, but we can't afford to let them happen. So we need to act with greater urgency and out of a sense of precaution.
Do you get a sense, though, that the political will in Ireland has been lost since the Green Party left government?
Oh, definitely. I think it's very clear that
the government denies that.
They do deny it, but they have contradictory policies, and they speak out of both sides of their mouth. They're in favour of climate action, they're in favour of the targets, but they're not introducing the corrective measures in policy terms to ensure that we meet them. So, for example, that offshore wind, we're not going to meet that target. So we should be introducing other measures to scale up energy efficiency and to use the energy we need to use much more efficiently, so as to avoid adding more gas and oil and coal demand.
There's lots of listeners are getting in touch about the district heating schemes. How difficult would it be to put many of those into place? How expensive would it be?
Well, that is a question I suggest you put to CODEMA, who are the people driving this initiative in Dublin. The reality is that under various EU directives, Ireland is going to have to introduce district heating and cooling plans for major cities like Dublin. So this shouldn't be rocket science. We should be doing this. Costs have been calculated. But we have to compare those costs with the costs of inaction and the social and environmental cost of burning fossil fuels, which is leaving a legacy of climate debt and pollution and ill health onto our young people and their futures.
Saibhir Neill, thank you for joining us this week for The Last Word on the Environment.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.